to live up to what God has called us as men and fathers to do when it comes to the church, where it comes to our families, and in general, our overall responsibility in life. So this morning, I just want to share with you briefly what God has placed on my heart in this message. So, beginning with verse 25, it reads, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present himself," the church, "in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she could be holy and blameless." So husbands, there you go again, ought to also love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are the members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So, when you think about what this scripture is saying, and in general and practicalities, the best thing that we can do as father is that we can do for our children is to, what the Bible says, love our wives. Now, verse 25 says, and I think it draws that picture. As I thought about it this week and listening to the children and listening to their plea and their cry and their heart aches and things like that. Many of them were, they come to camp, many, I don't know what percentage, it could be half, come from a single parenting home, and many of those don't have fathers. And many of them are living and being raised by their grandparents as well. So, this pertains to all of us that we, you know, see what our responsibility are as parents, as mothers, as well as fathers. I know this is Father's Day. But an illustration is drawn to help us understand as Christ loved the church. Everything Christ is to the church, and when I think as a husband, I am to be to Brenda. We are to be to our spouses. And it all revolves around two words, loving leadership. Loving leadership. You know, we're all leaders, especially at home and in the church and maybe out in the workplace as well. But we are to be loving leadership. That's what the Bible is telling us here. And going back to verse 25 again, if you are with me in your Bible, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, that's big, isn't it? He gave up his life for us, the church. And verse 23 says that we must provide for our families godly leadership. If you go back to Genesis, that's what God was saying to Adam, all the way through Abraham and all the patriarchs. And now in here in Ephesians, that's what Paul is saying, that we are to provide to our families godly leadership, not dictatorship or coercion or domination. We don't do any of that. But as the song that we often sing, and it talks about serving, and it goes like this, I will serve thee because I love thee, because you gave your life for me. And then heartaches and things like that on down, but it's the gist of the song is, I love thee because, I serve thee because I love thee. And that should be, you know, our theme as a man to our wives, to our families, and so forth. So in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about submission. And submission is a response to which is to follow love from us, which should come first. Now, as I read all the way through Ephesians chapter 5, but picked out 25 through 32, Ephesians 5 is about the man being a spiritual leader. Often, this passage of Scripture is used in weddings and things like that to let the man know that, you know, being a spiritual leader within the home, within the church, is very important. Not having to be dragged to church or begged to go to Sunday school or reminded that it is our responsibility to pray as well. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So loving leadership. So I got to get caught up here. There we are. For as for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. What's that tell us about Joshua? He was a leader. He was a leader. He was a leader of armies. He was a leader of his family. He was a leader in the church as well, in the synagogues and in the tabernacles as well. So Eve may have taken the first bite, but God came looking for Adam, didn't he? Adam, where are you? He didn't say, Eve, Adam, where are you? You know why? Because Adam was the leader. He was the spiritual leader of the home, the house. And that's why God came looking for him. He already knew. He wasn't looking for suggestions or anything, because he knew. He was looking for a confession from Adam. Yes, I've sinned. Yes, I am the spiritual leader, and I failed in that part. But he made it right. So there's three words in verse 25, 28, and 31, which says, love your wives. Now, why would Paul say it three times as a reminder? You know, when Jesus says it one time, that would be enough. It should be enough for us. But oftentimes, Jesus would say it more than one. He said it in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus, when he says, you must be born again. Truly, truly, I say unto you. You must be born again. So, three words, verse 25, 28, 33, love your wives. Christ is an example. See, we are to love our wives the same way he loved the church. And the church is the bride. Now, let's look at three things here quickly. First of all, three types of love Christ gave the church. And the first one is sacrificial love. Christ gave himself for her everything he had. He gave his life. He went to the cross. He died for all of our sins. So he gave his life for the church. And we are to love our wives so much that we would be willing to die for them. Are you willing to do that right now? Each one of us? Yeah. That's our responsibility. just to die selfishly, or are you're well on the way to living for her? Most of us want, you know, what we want when we want it, and many men enter marriage like a entering a tick on a dog. But what you can get out of it, it's like it's said in Tennessee, in marriage there's two ticks and no dog. Now, sacrificial love says there's nothing so dear to me that I wouldn't give up for the sake of my wife. That's sacrificial love. That's what Paul is talking about right here. See, takes me back when I asked Brenda to marry me. And of course, she was jumping up and down, you know, yes, yes, I'll marry you. I just kidding. She wasn't jumping up and down. But I said, Brenda, will you marry me? And you know what she said? The man I marry has to meet certain qualifications. Then she told me what they were. You know what I said? Then I'm the man. And hopefully I fulfilled all of those. Oh, she's nodding. Okay, that's good. But that's true. Yeah. I don't know if I was down on my hands and knees begging or what, but she said there's certain qualifications, and I'm glad that she pointed those out to me, because she had prayed, as I had prayed, for the woman that God wanted us to marry, or the man that God wanted her to marry. But she also has reminded me throughout the years she could have married a millionaire, but she didn't. She chose me. I said, well, you follow God's plan. And that's good. That's right, isn't it? That we follow God's plan in our lives. See, I have counseled with ladies who said, the kids have such and such needs. And my husband went out and bought himself another new gun or that car or that truck and so on and so on and so on. Uh-oh, I've gone to meddling now. But they would say, if only he would have spent the equivalent on me and the kids in gifts as he did himself, then our needs would have been met. And I just sat there, you know, you just stand there. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. So it has to be sacrificial love, as the scripture's talking about, to love our wives as we do our own flesh, as Christ loved the church. Then secondly, sanctifying love. In verses 26 and 37, talks about sanctifying. It's talking about elevating love. You elevate someone. You lift them up. And that's one of the things I tell the groom when I'm looking them straight in the eye. I say, always elevate, always lift up your spouse. Don't talk them down in public, but lift them up, talk them up. And that shows that you're sanctifying that love to her. See, Brenda is a radiant Christian and was the day I met her. See, God chose me to have his best girl. That's the way I look at it. Don't you think she's the best? I do. John often says that back there. John Mann says that. All you who know your wives and love them dearly would say that. But she's supposed to be a better Christian just because she married me. And I'm to lift her up spiritually, not drag her down. And true love always lifts ones up. True love always lifts you up. And teens, if you're here today, I really want you to take this to heart. To date someone who drags you down spiritually is to willingly pursue something that is not of God. And we see too much of it today. Sanctifying love is what we need. Then securing love. In verses 28-29, nourishing and cherishes. That equals securing. See, physically, we are to protect. We are to provide. We are to love. We are to nourish. We are to cherish. That's what this is talking about here in the scripture. See, God helped the man who would try to make up his own insecurities by abusing his wife, or who would let her sacrifice her own self-worth for his sake. It shouldn't be. See, the Bible says that she is a weaker vessel, not an insult. In the Greek, it's not statement of value, but it's like silk compared to denim, or porcelain next to steel. That's what it means. See, we are to protect our wives like fine china. And, you know, we handle that delicately, don't we? And when you got it in your hands, you got food in it, you want to make sure you don't drop it and break it. You handle it with care, realizing she feels things more deeply and more easily broken. And I think we men have learned that. I've learned that. It's been 50 years, going on 50 years. So you learn the things that apply in life to your relationship with your spouse or other people, the sensitivity in life. So you can emotionally protect her when she's hurting, and don't try to manhandle the situation and fix it. All you do is like ABC. You know, you can take your ABC. Well, what she doesn't want you to fix it, she wants you to feel it, husbands. Feel it. Put your arms around her and bear it with her. You know what that is? That's securing love. That's embracing. That's showing that securing love. Now, and we can spiritually protect our wives by spiritual leadership. See, God has, that's God's plan for each one of us as husbands. And maybe we need to be reminded of that. And how we learn that is through the scripture. And that's through the sensitivity of the love relationship. Because the verse says we are to leave our father and our mother and cling to our wife, and we become one. See, when you become one in Christ, you know how God operates. You know how he functions. And when you become one, intimate in your relationship with one another, you just know what they need, and you respond accordingly. Charles Spurgeon once said, "When a home is ruled accordingly to God's word, angels might be asked to stay with us and not find themselves out of their element." That's a good saying. That was wise on Charles Spurgeon to say that. Because I'm sure he experienced that throughout his pastorate, through all the years he pastored and taught with people, husband and wives probably, and preached that from the pulpit. See, men, your marriage and your home should be a taste of heaven on earth. And as I experienced that at church camp or any time I talk with children, it might be the Good News Club, I don't hear that. It's chaos, dysfunctional, too many times. And it begins and ends with us, as fathers, as dads. Give your wife your self, loving leadership. Give her sacrificial love, sanctifying love, and secure love. That lines up with the Word of God. If we do that, we'll have a happy home, happy children, happy families, happy society, a happy nation, a happy world. That's God's plan from the very beginning. And sometimes we just get off course because we don't really read the Word of God and know what it says. And that's why what Beth was saying, that we really encourage the children to reread and restudy and re-meditate and re-reflect upon what they learned at camp. And I tell them, take this home with you. Take Jesus home. Don't leave him here at camp. Take him with you. Lean upon him. Call upon him. Run to him. You'll find him every time. We will too. Men, we are the spiritual leaders of the home. We're spiritual leaders of the church. And I'm very thankful of our wives and the ladies of this church who step up as well. But they're looking for that in our lives. And they deserve it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father God, we just praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the love that you showed the church. You showed us and all of us as sinners. That's why you went to the cross and died for our sins. And once we make that step of faith in Christ, then, Lord, you ask us to be your followers, to step up to the plate and serve. The capacities are very wide and broad for all of us. But you gift us and give us the gifts and the talents to do all of the things you call us to do. And I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, that they will and they can know you through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what we've experienced this week. Thank you for what all of us have gained through reading and studying your word by applying it to our lives. We're much better people because you love us. You love us unconditionally. And that's how we are to love one another. As fathers, love our families unconditionally. Give of ourselves no matter what. So, Lord, thank you for loving us and caring for us. And, Lord, this is your invitation for us to respond to it, to make things right with you. If we're willing to do that, Lord, you'll give us that peace that passes all understanding, knowing we're in your perfect will. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 352, A Child of the King. Let us stand as we sing.